The world in which I lived as a boy was different in a thousand ways from the world in which I live now. One of the major differences is, of course, we had very few automobiles. We walked. We walked to church. Everybody walked to church. And another colossal difference, the churches were never locked. You could walk to church anytime. The churches were always open. It's only in this age of the barbarians that we learned to lock the church. We had to lock the church. We're back to that. So at Christmas time, all through the season, in my parish church, at any time of day and into the night even, you might see a mother or an older sister or brother walking a younger kid up the street to the church to see the baby Jesus in the crib with his blessed mother and Saint Joseph. How long you stayed there was dependent on what you had to do. But as long as you were there, you never heard a sound. You never heard a word spoken. This was God's house, and everybody else kept their mouth shut. But after some time gazing at the baby and the mother and the father, we'd walk home. That's still in my mind. I get all the Christmas cards of the mother and the Madonna, the mother and the child, the mother and the child, but I keep thinking, and St. Joseph. And St. Joseph, he was the head of the house. He was running the show. The angel was doing business with him. And St. Joseph, we were taught that God is one in three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in heaven, and Jesus, Mary, and Joseph on earth. What life have you if you have not life together? There is no life not lived in community, and there is no community not lived in praise of God, said the poet. Life in heaven is a community, and life on earth is a family, a community. We will learn love there, or we will go through life perhaps not ever experiencing it at all. My experience with people in the shelters and on the streets, watching over many years, what's the difference? What's the difference? It's easy. It's not that some were rich and some had a lot of money and lost a lot of money. It's not that some drink and some didn't, mental illness, it's none of those things. Some had a family and some didn't. And it wasn't only that the family was the ace in the hole that bailed them out time after time after time so they didn't end up in the shelter of the jail. They had influence. It wasn't only that. It was partly that, of course. They had experienced love in a family. And they were restless to get back to it. They had something to hope for. There was reason to change. But for all the others, it was hopeless. And they're in there this morning. I can call them by name, hopeless, going through life, never having had a family, never having known love. God help us. The biggest misunderstanding of my life was I thought everybody had a family like me. My mother and father were saints. I had brothers and sisters to this day who received the faith, who kept the faith, who lived the faith. I had a holy family. I thought everybody had a holy family. It isn't that way. That was my biggest misunderstanding. And my biggest bother in this life is hearing the church take a bad rap. I don't mind the church taking a rap for what the church does wrong, because I love the church. Like a husband loves the bride, I love the church. But the church does wrong. I do wrong. But to say that the church is just negative, just against everything, against abortion, against birth control, against gay marriage, church against everything. The church is against one thing and one thing only. And you know it and I know it. The church is against sin. That's all. S-I-N, that's what the church is against. You know what sin is, and I know what sin is, and the church is against it. And the church is against it for one reason, because it breaks up families, because it makes love impossible, because it frustrates the will of God to teach us how to have a holy and happy existence here on earth in a family. And the church gives us the key to the Holy Family. Almighty God gives it to us. You've heard me say it over and over again. The first three commandments tell us how to behave toward God. I am the Lord your God. Respect my day and my name. I'm God, not you. Respect my name and my day. Now, the first commandment that tells us how to behave with one another, that comes rolling down from the mountain and chiseled in stone like Moses himself, honor your father and your mother. And it's the only commandment that has a promise attached to it. Honor your father and your mother so you'll have a long, happy life on the land I'm going to give you. That's the key to the happy family. That's the key to the Holy Family. Honor your father and your mother. And just in case that simple statement needs any clarification, in the reading this morning we heard from the book of Sirach, this magnificent passage. Even when your father gets old. Now, this passage isn't directed toward little kids. If your father's old, senile in other words, you're kind of over the hill yourself. So you're the ones he's talking to. Even when your father and mother get old and they lose their mind, think of Alzheimer's, the plague of our times. Even when they're old and lose their mind, you honor them. And I'll take care of you and your house. There'll be justice and peace in your house. You honor your father and your mother. It's all so simple. The church is against sin. But Jesus is the light of the world, and that light burns in the church. That's the way. That's the truth. That's the Holy Family. Once again from Eliot. What life have you if you have not life together? There is no life not lived in community. And there is no community not lived in praise of God. There is no life then except in a holy family. Try hard this year to make the family that God gave you more holy.